You're listening to the Grace Church Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you biblical guidance to life's most important issues. We want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. We pray you find strength and encouragement as we learn from God's truth together. For more information, go to visitgracechurch.com.
What's up, Grace Church? Man, it was about 8 weeks ago. I am standing in the middle of the most unreached area in the world. The most unreached area in the world, in this state in northern India, where there's 200 million people. 200 million. 194 million of them don't know who Jesus is. They will never run into a Christian. They will never see a Bible. They may never hear the gospel. And we're on the Ganges River, or what the birthplace of Hinduism, what they call the birthplace of Hinduism, or what they call the Ganga. And so we're on this boat, and we're with this guy named Gobi. You meet guys like Gobi when you're there. And Gobi was our boat driver, and we're literally in the most unreached area in the world where Hinduism was literally birthed, and we're sitting there, my wife and I, and she gets to share Christ with him. She gets to share the truth of the gospel with him. Probably 80% of the Indians there, 80% will never, ever meet a Christian. But they met us. She got to share the truth with him, and he spoke some English, and so we had translators there, guides with us, and they got to share the truth of the gospel with him. And so Gobi, because of Grace Church, got to hear the gospel for probably the very first time. And so while we're there, we also got to meet, we got to meet these church planters, these 25 to 30 church planters. And see, they're in this white room, this 20-foot by 20-foot white room, and we're singing. We're doing something called an indigenous church service where we're sitting down, and they put a mattress out for us because we were the honored Westerners, and we're sitting down, and we're getting to praise the Lord in Hindi. Praise the Lord, they put the ABCs of Hindi in there so I could make the phonetic sound. So we sang. I'm not sure what we were singing, but I think we were singing praise songs. But we're with those 25 church planters. And on average, they'll plant 3 churches in 5 years. But they'll be cursed, they'll be threatened, but they'll start on an average 3 churches in 5 years. And so just to let you into my life a little bit here at Grace, my life was like a life of contradiction. Because I'm there, most unreached area of the world. We flew back, and then I was here for 5 days, and then I flew to this church planting conference in Southern California at one of the world, in the U.S., one of the world's largest churches at this $400 million campus. And so I'm literally witnessing this. The most amazing worship that I've ever experienced, the most amazing speakers I've ever experienced, besides here at Grace Church, of course, right? I mean, come on. But I'm literally getting to hear this amazing worship, this amazing preaching, and then I started to feel this emotion, and so I snapped this picture right literally when my eyes were starting to tear up. I begin to weep. And I'm not an overly emotional guy. My friends will say that I have emotion. It's just one. Usually just one emotion, but I began to weep, and I felt all these emotions at the same time. I felt anger and sadness and joy. You ever been in one of those places before where you feel all these things at the same time? See, I was feeling anger partly because I get to experience this. I get to be here with these 2,500 church planters and pastors all focusing on church planting, and I felt angry because I was just with these guys in India that are begging for $150 a month so they can be sustained, so they can plant churches. And I'm at this $400 million campus. And then I'm partly sad because my new Indian friends will probably never experience what I just got to experience. Or they will never probably experience what we got to experience today. And then I have joy because I get to experience this. Like, I actually get to experience 2,500 people at the same time singing praises to the King of Kings. These Indian friends of mine will never experience that until heaven. So you look at the comparison. So you see that one white room, and then you see this other one. And I started thinking, what is success? Like, what is it? What's success? What's the win? What can we drive towards together? Because I don't know if God's asking us to do different things there. I think there's probably a success, a win that we both can drive towards. Like, that we both can run towards. And so we're in this series called Exodus, and Exodus is a picture of our, you guys know? Exodus is a picture of our, there's like three of us. I love you guys, man. I'm glad you were with me. Exodus is a picture of our spiritual journey. Let's say it on three together, okay? Spiritual journey. One, two, three, spiritual journey. All right, we're all on the same page now. Amen, amen. But so Exodus is a picture of our spiritual journey, so maybe we can go to Exodus to figure out what is success. Like, what is it? So we're going to be in Exodus 35 through 40. Thanks a lot, Tim, wherever you are, for giving me five chapters to cover, by the way. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you. But the ushers are going to come down. If you need Bibles, pens, message notes, something extra to write on, I'm going to pray, and then they'll walk down the aisles, and you guys wave them down to get that stuff. So let's just pray for God to be with us today, to speak to us. Lord, I love you. I pray that you would use us. I pray that you would just speak to us, that we would know you, that it wouldn't just be another weekend message, but you would really just change us with your word. Let us experience your word. God, we invite you. You are here because I know your word says where two or three are gathered together that you will be in the midst. You are here. You are already here because you live inside of us, and let it be present. Let you, God, just let us experience your presence just like we sang just a second ago. We love you and pray those things in your son's name, Jesus. Amen. So, if Exodus is truly about our spiritual journey, then what is the Lord trying to tell us through these five chapters? What's he really trying to tell us? And you'll notice something. All through the book of Exodus, you'll hear, and the Lord commanded, and the Lord commanded, and the Lord commanded. Like chapter 40 alone, verses 19, 21, 23, 25, 27, 30, 32, and verses 29 all say, as the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded. So here's the summary of Exodus 35 through 40. Here's the summary right here. God told them to build a tent, and they built a tent. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed. You guys can get up on out of here. But God is literally commanding. So the natural question for us today is, what is he commanding us to do today? What is he commanding us to do today? And so I looked in the words of Jesus, and Jesus said in John 12, verse 26, he says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So he is asking us to follow him. He's asking us to follow him. So the question from the get-go for you, every seat in the house, the question for you is, are you a follower of Jesus? Are you a follower? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Do you know that you want to follow him? Do you know that you desire to be with him? Do you know and have a desire to follow him? See, Jesus said back in John 19, verse 30, he was on the cross and he's hanging on the cross 2,000 years ago. And he said, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. What was finished? He bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He died so he could take your sin and my sin, all those laws that we broke. In Exodus 20, when we got the Ten Commandments, he died for all the times that we've broken those, for all of them. See, here's the deal. We are liars. We are covetous. We are lustful. We are worshipers of self. We are murderers. We're thieves. We have broken God's law. We actually deserve death. You deserve death. You deserve condemnation. You actually deserve hell. You deserve that. You deserve it. And if that's not enough, If that's not enough, James chapter 2 verse 10 says, listen to this, it says, for whoever shall keep the whole law yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. You are guilty. You, you're all guilty. All deserving of condemnation. But God did something, man. He did something. He did this amazing thing. Romans 5:8 says, but God, he demonstrated, he shared, he shone, he gave. He demonstrated his own love, not somebody else's love, his own love towards us. In that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Not only so we could go to heaven. Like, what a joke if that was it. Oh, he just died for us so we can experience heaven. Listen, he died for you and loved you and demonstrated his love. So not only could you get to heaven, but so he could walk with you. And so you could take back this world for his kingdom. So like, he gave you a mission. He died for you. So yes, to cover your sin. Yes, to know you. Yes, to experience you. Yes, to have a relationship with you. Yes, to walk with you. But he gave you a mission. And he wants you to follow him. And it's this incredible war, and it's probably the hardest thing that you will ever do in your life. See, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, says that he died for all. He died for all. That they which live, that's you and I, if you're alive today, he died for you. He died for all, that they which live should no longer live for themselves. So you're not supposed to live for yourself, but unto him that died for him, died for them and rose again. He gave us hope by raising from the dead. He died for you, and he wants to have your whole complete life, not just a little bit, not just an add-on, just not a piece, not just where you're saying, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do everything that I think I should do, but I'm just going to add Jesus on. No, he wants it all. He wants your career. He wants your family. He wants your security. He wants your ethics. He wants your morals. He wants everything. You know what life means in the Greek? Life means the absolute fullness. Everything that is essential. Everything. Have you given him everything? Have you given him your mind? Have you given him your finances? Have you given him your will, your emotions? Have you given it all to Christ? If you're taking notes, you can write down this one. Obey Jesus by following him. Obey Jesus by following him. We are in Exodus, right? Let's get back there. Exodus 35, verse 30. It says, and Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. See, this weird guy, Bezalel, shows up on the scene, and check out what his name means, Bezalel. Bezalel means in the shadow, okay? Hang with me. In the shadow. And then he's a son of Uri, which means light or fiery, so to be in the light. And then the son of Hur, which means in the hole. Okay, hang with me. I promise I'm going somewhere with this. I promise. And then of the tribe of Judah, which is praise. So check this out. Just like Bezalel, we are in the shadows. We're in darkness. We're in sin. We're in bondage. We're in all of this junk, just like Israel was in. So Bezalel, in the shadows. And then God says, I want you to become a son of light. I came to provide light so you could be a son of God. So he is in the light, but he stays in the hole. The son of Hur in the hole is what that means. So in the world, so you yet still praise. Okay, but check this out. There's something else. If you look at it from Jesus' perspective, see, he was in the place of praise. He was in the place of worship, just like the tribe of Judah. So he's in the place of praise. He comes down into the whole earth to share his light because he is the light of the world to show it to people that are in the darkness. Isn't that awesome? Look at verse 30 again. It says, "And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord is called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." And we just got all that? You word nerds. Can I get a non-denominational amen on that one? Like, for you word nerds with me, that actually meant something. Can I get an amen on that one? Amen. That's awesome. God's word is awesome. It's awesome. Verse 31, let's keep going. It says, "And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, Bezaleel, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze." See, God gave Bezaleel all these skills, wisdom and understanding and knowledge and workmanship and design. God still wants artistic works happening in the church. He still has room for the arts, but that's not what I want you to see. I want you to see verse 34. It says, "And he, God, has put in his heart the ability to teach, otherwise known as the ability to disciple, otherwise known as the ability to mentor, otherwise known as the ability to invest his life into someone else's life so they can continue on the work." Listen, he has put in his heart the ability to teach. See, Jesus said it is finished on the cross, but he also said it is finished back in John 17. And so back in John 17, verse 4, Jesus says this. He says, "I have glorified you, Father. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. I have finished the work." And this is before the cross. This is before he took all your sin and my sin and put it on the cross so we could be counted as forgiven. He took all of your sin, but he's saying it is finished before the cross. What? Say what? You didn't take what was finished? Like what was finished? Verse 6 in John 17. Jesus says, "I have manifested your name. I have manifested, I've shown, I've made realized, I've made visible your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word." This is what discipleship is. It is taking your life and manifesting, making known Jesus' name to somebody else. That's it. And so he took 12 men, and he said, "You know what? I'm going to pour my life into those 12 men. I'm going to invest in those 12 men. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to show them the Father's love. I'm going to show them who the Father is. I'm going to show them what you've done, and I'm going to die for them. I'm going to give them something that is going to change them, that's going to change the known world." It's the same thing that Paul did when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Follow me as I follow Christ. If you're taking notes, obey Jesus by making disciples. That's it. Obey Jesus by making disciples. And this is not rocket science, by the way. Listen, this is not rocket science. I know it's not rocket science because he used 12 idiots. He used 12 idiots. The disciples, they were not very smart. I relate. I relate to them. I'm not very smart. But I know I can say, "Hey guys, follow me as I try to follow Jesus. Come on. Let's do this." Listen, let's make it practical. Who are you discipling? Like, who are you talking about every week on a regular basis about the things of Jesus? Who are you saying, "Hey, let's read the Bible together. Hey, let's get in a grace group together. Let's do a Bible study at work or at school or wherever, anywhere. It doesn't matter." Who are you meeting with on a regular basis that you're saying, "Listen, let's follow Jesus. Let's walk with him. Let's talk about him. Let's just try to follow him." Who are you doing that with? Not the person next to you. Who are you doing that with? I mean, if the 12 disciples can do it, you can do it. Listen, there are people all over Grace Church doing this. There are people all over Grace Church. I think of Patty Fournier. Patty Fournier is an awesome lady at our church. She just serves like crazy, but But she's gathered a team. She gathered a team, and she goes up to Antioch Crossing, this apartment complex, and she literally knocks on every single door, and she invests in the people, not monetarily all the time, but she invests them by talking about Jesus, by sharing her life, sharing what Jesus has done, and she's got this team. See, and what you'll notice in Exodus chapter 35 through 40, the language is really interesting. Okay, for you word nerds again. Right, the language is really interesting. But for some of us, it is. Check this out. 30 times it talks about Bezalel, and it says, he made, he made, he made. But something weird happens in chapter 39. It starts saying, they made, they made, they made. See, this following Jesus stuff was never meant to do alone. See, that's what's so great about Patty Fournay. She's got Jack and Sarah Laptad and Emily Stevens and Josh Burke and Karen Rogers, and they are investing in people. They are investing in people at Antioch Crossing. I mean, you know it is a movement of God when Jack Laptad is laying on the ground doing a quilt. You know it. I mean, look at him. Jack is a manly guy. He doesn't know. He's probably going to kill me for this picture. I didn't ask his permission, but you know what? We all get to laugh at him together. Right? So he is there, and he just wants to do that because he wants to share a little bit of the love of Christ with somebody. But see, it went from he made to they made. And you know, God wants to use our church. You know, God wants to use our church to change our community. He wants to use our church to change the world. Like he literally wants us to make an impact on the whole world. You know the only thing you can't do in heaven? You know what? We're going to be able to worship Jesus better than we've ever worshiped because we're going to be with him. We're going to be able to worship better than if Ben or Luke or Charlotte or any of these people that lead music. We're going to be able to worship it because we're going to be with him. We're going to understand his word better than we've ever understood his word because we're going to be with him in the flesh, the word of God in the flesh, Jesus. We're going to be with him. We're going to understand it. But you know the one thing you can't do in heaven? You can't make disciples. You definitely can't make new disciples. Listen, not only does he want you to obey him and make disciples, but he's gifted you to do it. Check this out. Exodus 36, verse 2. It says, then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. If you're taking notes, obey Jesus by using your gift to reach the world. Listen, he has placed something in you. He has placed something in you that he hasn't placed in anybody else, and he wants to use your gift to reach the known world. I mean, think about some of the people around our church. You guys ever meet our senior pastor, Tim Howie? Homeboy is a weirdo. He's a weirdo. Seriously, first time I preached here, check this out. First time I preached here, I shared my notes with him, and he said, hey, Justin, why do you have, he's a computer engineer. Computer engineer, trained at Stanford, weirdo. So I shared my notes with him, and he said, hey, is there a reason why you have two spaces after the three? No, there's not a reason I have two spaces after the three, but here's the deal. God used Tim, a very organized engineering mind, to organize a church. So he said, you know what? God used my gifts, skills, and abilities to organize a church so we can continue to reach this community, continue to reach this world, and God has used him. There's another guy at our church named Brett Hart, and he owns a titling company. You know that the titling company where you buy a house and you literally have to sign your name like 5,000 times? So you have to sit with that title person forever, it seems like, while you're literally getting a cramp in your hand. But he gets to sit with those people, and he gets to share stories about God with them. I ran into him in the lobby, and he said, hey, Justin, I did what you told me to do. And I said, What did I tell you to do? And he said, hey, we hired a guy that's not a follower of Jesus. And I said, I told you to do that. But he hired a guy that's not a follower because everybody at his workplace, at his business, they're already followers of Jesus. They go to church somewhere. And so they want to influence him to follow Jesus. Keith Kennedy. Man, Keith Kennedy gets on my nerves. He just gets on my nerves. He's the director of operations at this marketing company. It's like a $1 billion marketing company, maybe $2 billion, I don't know. But he runs this operations, and he is just constantly sharing Jesus and sharing Jesus. Sometimes I just say, Keith, be quiet, man. I'm the outreach director here. I'm supposed to be sharing the stories with you. But he is just constantly sharing Jesus. He used to work at Hallmark, and he was just sharing Jesus with people there all the time, all the time, all the time. Trevor Campbell's another one. Trevor Campbell is a banker. He's a banker, and he goes to Church Under the Bridge, and he organizes everything at Church Under the Bridge. He tries to get speakers and somebody to lead worship, and all those kids are there at Church Under the Bridge because he organizes our efforts there. He preached his very first sermon ever at Church Under the Bridge. He's a banker. But he said, you know what, I couldn't schedule somebody, so you know what, I'm going to say God used my gift, skills, and abilities, and I'm going to try to preach to these hardcore homeless guys. And he did it. He's a banker. A banker. Phil Whitmer. Phil Whitmer's another guy at our church. He's the chief information officer of the state of Kansas. Forgive him. I know he works for the government. Forgive him. But he took those gift, skills, and abilities, in the IT world. He's serving our partner, Kansas City Rescue Mission, to get their databases in line so they can better serve their clients. He's using his gifts. There's another gal at our church named Joanna Schindel. She was a missionary and a missionary kid in Thailand. And so she knows what it means to learn another language. So now she's an ESL teacher, a teacher of the English as a second language. And so she helps all of these children because she knows she's using her gifts, skills, and abilities to help them learn English. Luke, you want to talk about another homeboy that is a weirdo? Luke is a weirdo. That guy can play the piano and the banjo and the guitar. One of these days, I'm just waiting for him to come up with a didgeridoo to lead us in worship. He's using his gifts, skills, and abilities to literally lead people and focusing on the King of Kings. Brent Cassing's another one. Brent Cassing, if you know him, and he is like the driest guy you've ever met. I love him. Don't get me wrong. I'm making fun of all these guys, but they're so dear to my heart, and I love them. But Brent got to lead this guy to Jesus. Listen, we're in the middle of the river in the Amazon. We're literally on the Amazon River on this church that's built literally in the middle. It's like on four by fours, and there's 80 of us on this church, on this platform, in this building. We're just praising God that we're still alive today because we thought it might just fall. It like shakes when people start singing in there. But Brent literally got to share the gospel. He's a consultant. He's a consultant that has a heart for people along the Amazon River to know who Jesus is. And then Brian Gann. Okay, he doesn't have it figured out. He needs some help. Somebody pray for him, would you? So Brian, he's dear to my heart too, but listen, he's been to Iraq, northern Iraq, more than 10 times. Why? Because he wants all 37 million Kurds to know who Jesus is. Northern Iraq, that's not a vacation. You don't go to Iraq for vacation. You go because God has asked you. Then there's this team in India. This team, check this out. There are KU students. Well, they're actually, they graduated. There's KU graduates and K-State. You know God is moving if those two are working together to reach the nations. They are working together. And listen, there's a couple there. They all have college degrees from K-State or KU. Some of them are working on their master's degrees. And they are saying, I am using my gifts, skills, and abilities in business to reach the most unreached area in the world. I'm using my profession, the skills that God has given me, to reach the world. And God hasn't just gifted us a little bit. Look what he did in Exodus 36, verse 5. This is, and they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work. Much more than enough. Much more than enough. Man, do you believe Grace Church can make an impact on the world? Do you believe it? He wants to use us more abundantly and more than we can ever imagine. And listen, this is just what we've done to impact the world. We gave $114,000 in one fell swoop. $114,000 we gave away to train church planters in Lebanon, in Egypt, in Iraq. We translated the Willow Creek Leadership Summit into Burmese language so the Burmese could get better at leadership. We had over 70 people go on mission trips. We launched the Olathe campus. We had 140 people give their lives to Christ at Grace Church. We had 100 people baptized. We gave 1,000 Operation Christmas Child boxes. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Just the tip. The crazy thing is, He can do more. He can do more with us, and He wants to do more with us because we have more gifts, more skills, more money than we can imagine to do His work. There's those translation boards out there, and some of you in here could write a check for the whole thing. Do it. Go do it. Listen, you ever hear that 80-20 rule? 20% of the people in the church do 80% of the work? I don't believe that's true about our church, but don't let it be true. Don't let it be true. So what is success? Like, what is success for us? Exodus 39, verse 43. It says, "Then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed, they had done it. As the Lord had commanded, just so they had done it." And Moses blessed them. Here's what success is. They were obedient. That's it. No secret sauce, no magical equation. They just obeyed. They just obeyed. So you remember my friends in India and Southern California, my 2,500 church planting friends and my 25 Indian friends. What's success? That they would obey Christ by following Him. That they would obey Christ by making disciples. And that they would obey Christ, that they would obey Jesus by using their gifts, their skills, and their abilities to make His name known in all of the world. That's it. So it doesn't matter if you're in India, doesn't matter if you're in Southern California, doesn't matter if you're in Johnson County, doesn't matter if you're in Kansas City, God wants you to be obedient to what He is asking you to do, and He desires to use you, and He's going to give you more abundant gifts, more abundant skills, more abundant abilities so you can reach this whole world for Christ. Let's pray. God, use us. Lord, please just use us. We're here. God, help us to be obedient. God, I pray that there would be people all over our congregation that would just raise their hands and say, "Yes, I will go, I will do, I will be obedient, and I know You've used my gifts. Here they are, God. I want to be obedient."
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you have questions or would like to contact us for prayer, please email us at info@visitgracechurch.com. For more information about our ministries, location, and service times, go to visitgracechurch.com.